60 years old or 100 years old. It is possible, although it is very difficult, because if we have necessary device to make it stop at the 60th round, then it will stop at 60th round. So it is possible, although it is very, very difficult. In the same way, these turbulence run very fast, so fast, that it is almost imperceptible. In our books, it is said that these turbulence run more than 1 billion times in a second. But with the instrument of mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom or understanding, you will be able to stop at the decision moment and not go over to the impatient moment. So, one Buddha said, there will be only the same Buddha mass that we should stop at just at that moment of decision. What if we cannot stop there? If we cannot stop there, there will be the impassioned moment. There will be the most productive moment. And there may be either wholesome or unwholesome mental state. But these wholesome or unwholesome mental states are very weak, and so they cannot give many results. Now, if we cannot stop there, then there will follow another mental process or another thought process, because we always go back to what we have seen or what we have experienced. So the next moment or the next phase is let us call recollecting phase. So during that recollecting phase, our mind picks the object which has just been seen, which has disappeared from the avenue, but which we can take by our mind. So the next phase, the recollecting phase, picks the object which has just been gone out of existence. So if we cannot stop at the first thought process, we may be able to stop at the second thought process, at the end of the second thought process. And this second thought process arises not through the five senses, but through the mind door. If we can stop at the second thought process, it's still good, because that thought process takes the object which is a reality, which is not a concept yet. So after taking that object and experiencing it, then we can stop there and not go to the later phases, and it is still good. We will not have either attachment or anger or hatred with regard to that object which we have seen. Now, if we cannot stop at the second, then we will go over to the third phase. During the third phase, we begin to see not reality, but the concept. We begin to see like a thing, or a being, or a man, or a woman. So, during the first phase and the second phase, what we see is just the visible object. We cannot say that we see the thing, or the being, or man, or a woman. But during the third phase, and we come to see the man, or the woman, or the thing. And when we see the concept, because these are concepts, not reality, we come to have likes or dislikes about these things. And so, we acquire the wholesome or unwholesome mental state at that moment. And after coming to the third phase, then we will go over to the fourth phase, where we think of the names of those concepts. So at the third phase, we just see the man or woman, but the word man or woman does not come to us yet. But during the fourth phase, we can name them. We can say, I see a woman, I see a man, I see a thing, and so on. So at least there are these four thought processes or thoughtful phases arising one after the other when we see something. And we have been seeing things and we have been taking them to the conceptual stage so long that it is almost impossible for us to stop at the end of the first process or the second process. We almost always run over into the third and the fourth phases. That is why we cannot see under normal circumstances when we are not meditating, we cannot see things as they are. We always see things as they appear to us, but not as they really are. So in order to see things as they really are, we have to apply mindfulness, concentration and understanding with diligence, with the singleness of purpose. So, according to the second explanation, there will be only the same means, the impersonal moment will be as the same measure or as the same nature as the seeing consciousness. Now, in the first thought process, there is seeing consciousness. And that seeing consciousness is just neutral. It is not accompanied by attachments or hatred or delusion. It is the product of some karma in the past. And so it is not productive. And it is neutral, neither wholesome nor unwholesome. So the second explanation means that we will make the impersonal moment the same nature as the seeing consciousness. That means we will make the impersonal moment not accompanied by attachment or hatred. That is another explanation, and that is not much different from the second explanation. Because in the third explanation, the commentator says that what is seen really means not only the seeing consciousness, but also the receiving, investigating, and decision consciousness also. So it means practically the same thing. So when Buddha said there will be only the seeing, that means we must stop at just what is seen and not go over to taking it as a being or as a man or as a woman, and also having attachment or anger with regard to that visible object. In order to be able to do that, we have to apply mindfulness, concentration and wisdom or understanding with diligence, as we are doing at this retreat. And when a yogi, when a meditator reaches the stages of vipassana knowledge, where he sees the dissolution of phenomena, and also when he reaches the higher stages of vipassana knowledge, he will be able to stop at only what is seen and not let it go over. There was a monk named Potila during the time of the Buddha. He was very learned and he was a teacher of many students or many monks. But he was not interested in the practice of meditation, and so he did not practice meditation. So whenever he came to the presence of the Buddha, Buddha called him Tuccha Potila, that means vain Potila or useless Potila. When he heard the Buddha called him vain or useless, he was shaken, and so he took that hint and he tried to practice meditation. So he went to a place where 30 arahants were living. So he went to the most senior arahant and requested him to teach him a subject of meditation. But the arahant thought he might be he might be too proud. So he did not give him any instructions, but sent him to the next junior monk. And also that junior monk sent him to the another junior monk, and so on, until he came to the last one, who was only 7 years old, but was an arahant. So he asked the 7-year-old arahant to give him the subject of meditation, and that 7-year-old arahant said, "Sir, I am only 7 years old, and I am inexperienced. Actually, it is I who must learn from you and not from me." But the monk Potila insisted that the young arahant gave him instructions for the meditation. So the young, he was his novice, the young novice asked him whether he would do whatever he told him to do, and Potila said yes. So there was a pond near where they were, and so the novice said, "Go into that pond." So without asking any questions, he just entered into the pond until the edges of his throat got wet. Then the novice said, "Sir, please stop." And so he stopped, and after that, the novice was satisfied that maybe even the monk Potila had no pride in him, and he would do whatever is instructed to him. And so he said, "Suppose there is a mound in which an iguana or a lizard lives, and suppose there are 6 holes. So in order to catch that lizard, you have to close the 5 holes, and you have to close the 5 holes, and you have to sit at the 6th hole to catch it when it comes out. So that is my instruction for meditation. That means you have to close the 5 senses, and you have to act in the mind door with the mind. But that much is sufficient for the monk Potila to understand. So what the novice man was, not that you must close your eyes or your ears in order to practice meditation, because even though it may be possible to close your eyes and ears, it's not possible to close your nose or to close your tongue and body. So what he meant was that whenever some object is presented to these 5 senses, do not let there be the impulsion stages. Just stop at the decision stage, and then go over to the mind door and say, practice Vipassana meditation. Actually, he had to practice Vipassana meditation from the beginning. So whenever an object is presented to him, he must try to stop the process of thought just at the moment of decision, and not let it go over into compassion moment. So the monk practiced according to this teaching, and after some time Buddha delivered a stanza or a verse to him, and he became an arahant. So it is possible to practice or to follow these instructions and to stop the flow of moments of consciousness from reaching into the impulsion state. But it is very difficult, so it needs a lot of practice, patience and perseverance. So this is what Buddha meant when he said there will be only the seeing. So with the others also we should understand similarly. With regard to what is heart, there will be only the heart. So you, when you hear something, stop at just hearing and not take it as permanent or as pleasing or as displeasing. So just stop at hearing. Just stop with the hearing consciousness and after the decision consciousness and let it go there. Now, here also, will it be possible to stop just at hearing and not go over to the impersonal stages? Yes, it is possible, but again, it is very difficult because we are used to hearing sounds and then making judgments on these sounds. So much so that it is almost impossible for us just to stop at just hearing. So hearing is also a very complex process. Not one moment of hearing, but different moments of hearing, different moments of consciousness, different moments of thought involved in this one act of hearing. Now when you hear something, some noise, you just don't hear the noise. You also determine where this noise comes from, or whose noise it is, how far it is, and from which direction it comes, and whether it comes from a faraway place or it comes from a nearby place. And also if you are familiar with the sound, you can determine it is sound of an engine, or sound of a car, or sound of a person, or sound of animals, and so on. So all these, your mind computes in just a fraction of a second. And you can say that you hear the sound of an airplane, or a car, or whatever. If you are familiar with the noise of the car, you can even determine which make of the car it is. It is a Toyota, or it is a Mazda or something. So, in a fraction of a second, you can compute all these things in your mind very, very quickly, so that you do not hear just the sound or noise, but also the details of it. So in hearing a sound, there runs the same series of thought processes. And when we practice meditation, we should be able to stop at just hearing, or just what is heard, and not go over to the impulsion stages. It is difficult, but it is possible. So when we talk about these things, the working of mind, we have to magnify things so that we can understand well. Just as when they explain about the structure of atoms, and they use illustrations which are magnified maybe a billion of times. In the same way, we have to magnify the thought moment about a billion times so that we can see or we can understand the working of the mind. So with regard to what is heard, there will be only the heard. With regard to what is reached, there will be only the reached. The same thing. When we smell something, when we taste something, when we touch something, there is also the kinds of thought processes. And with regard to what is cognized, there will be only the cognized. So, cognized here means those cognized by mind, and not directly by the five senses. So, the instruction here is just be mindful. So apply mindfulness with diligence constantly so that you can stop at just what is seen, what is heard, and so on. Because if you cannot stop there, if you cannot stop at just what is seen, then we will surely reach the stages of impulsion and also the later phases of seeing, hearing, and so on. And so we will have attachment or aversion or delusion with regard to all these objects. And when there is aversion or when there is attachment, there will be what we call karma formation. And when there are karma formations, there are bound to be becoming or rebirth. And so this cycle of suffering goes on and on and on if we cannot stop at just what is seen and so on. So in order to stop this round of rebirth from going round and round, we have to do something at the moment of seeing, hearing, and so on. So vipassana is concerned primarily with what is at the present moment. For a vipassana practitioner, the present moment is the most important, especially in the beginning stages. The practitioner takes care of only what is at the present moment. Later on, when he reaches higher stages, he may practice vipassana on things of the past and on things of the future, but we cannot practice on the things of the past and on the things of the future if he has no direct experience of the present, no direct knowledge of the impermanency, etc., of the present. So what is important is first to see the present as impermanent and so on. And from this impermanence of the present things, he infers that the past things must also be impermanent and the future must also be impermanent. So what is important for a vipassana practitioner is the present moment. And so a practitioner must not lose mindfulness at any moment. Because if he loses mindfulness at the moment, then he will grasp at the thing he sees or he hears, and when there is grasping, there is the karma formations and so on. So it is important not to miss to note anything when it is present. Once it is grasped by way of attachment or from view, it has already been grasped and we cannot undo it. So what is important for a vipassana practitioner is the present moment, so we cannot lose, we cannot effort to miss to note anything which is at the present moment. So when we pay attention to what is at the present moment, we don't have to worry about what is past and what is future. So in another sutta, Buddha advises to live with the present moment, or to take care of what is at the present moment. I read the verses and this evening. So here Buddha gave advice very briefly for the practice of vipassana meditation. Next, Buddha told him about the results of the vipassana meditation. When Malankya Buddha of two things, seen, heard, reached and cognized, in what is seen there will be only the seen, in what is heard there will be only the heard, in what is rich, there will be only the rich, and in what is cognized, there will be only the cognized, then you will not be with that. When you are not with that, then you will not be there. And when you are not there, you will not be here, nor there, nor in both. That is the end of suffering. That means when you can stop at what, get what is seen, heard, and so on, you will not be with attachment or anger or delusion. And you will, when you are not with attachment or anger or delusion, you will not be there. That means you will not be tied down to attachment and so on. So it means the same thing. And when we do not have attachment or anger or delusion with regard to what is seen and so on, and you will not be in this life. You will not be in other life. You will not be in both lives. That means when you practice meditation and when you have no attachment or anger or delusion with regard to being seen, heard, and so on, and you go from one stage to another of the vipassana knowledges, and when you reach the final stage of realization, you experience nibbana direct. And when you experience nibbana direct, at that moment, you are not to be said to exist. There is no you at that moment, just the realization of nibbana. And so, in the next life also, there will be no you, and in both, there will be no you. And this is the end of suffering. So when one comes to the realization stage and reach the state of noble person, or reach at the state of arahanship, then there will be no more rebirth for him, and so that is the end of suffering. That is the, that is what we call nibbana. So the vipassana meditation will lead one to the final realization of nibbana, or final cessation of suffering. So this is the result to be gained from the practice of vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation. And after Buddha said this, Malankya Buddha told the Buddha what he understood of the Buddha teaching in brief. And the Buddha said, and Buddha agreed with him and accepted